We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Or HaChaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Vav, Paragraph Tes. V'zeh b'chinas kadosh li kol b'chor. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we've been learning now, we'll be able to understand more about some deep insights about the Tefillin. Shehi parsha rishona shel Tefillin. The first parsha of the four parshias that are inside the tefillin begins with Kadosh Li Kol B'chor, about sanctifying the firstborn by giving it to the Kohen. V'chein parsha beis, v'hoyo kiviyacha, and so too the second of the four parshias of tefillin, which begins with the words v'hoyo kiviyacha, Hashem alekecho el oretz, when Hashem will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, medaber b'kdushas b'chorin. Also speaks about the holiness of the firstborn. Ki kedushas b'chorim hu b'chinas kedushas habris, because the holiness of the firstborn is related to purity in the area of shmiras habris. Al yedei shemekadshin ha'hoylodo harishona, by sanctifying that first birth, and giving it over to the Kohen. Now let's explain a little bit now two important points. When we talk about the first birth, the Torah tells us by Yaakov Avinu that when he was, we're going to have this in 2 weeks, we're going to be reading Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu is about to leave the world and he gives each one of his sons a blessing. And when it comes to his firstborn child, Reuven, he says, Reuven, b'chayri ata. Reuven, you are my first child. Koichi v'reishis oini. My strength, my first strength, and the first of my seed. By this, Yaakov Avinu was saying about himself that he was so pure in Tikkun HaBris that his first child, Reuven, was his actual first seed, the first seed to come from him. So we see that Bechor, in its pure form, represents Tikkun HaBris, when that firstborn is holy, because there has not been any impurity, there haven't been any sins committed before that in that area. That's number one. Number two, the fact that the Torah tells us that we give the Bechor to the Kohen. What makes a Kohen holy? What is the holiness of the Kohanim? Moshe Rabbeinu mentions this when he's about to leave the world and when he's giving the blessings to the 12 tribes and when he addresses Levi, Shevet Levi, from whom the Kohanim come, he says, Yoru Mishpotecho LeYaakov V'Seirascho LeYisrael. They're going to be the ones, the tribe of Levi, and especially the Kohanim, are going to be the ones to teach the Mishpatim, the Torah, to the Jewish people. Why? A pasuk or two after that, still speaking about Shevet Levi, ends with the words, Uberischa Yinsoiru, because they guard the bris, because the Kohanim guard the bris. We know what distinguishes a Kohen from another Jew is that the Torah gives the Kohanim more requirements in this area. An ordinary Jew, a Levi Yisrael, is allowed to marry a divorcee, widow, and other allowed to come into contact with a dead body. A Kohen is already a higher level of Shmira Sabris, in that even a divorcee is off limits for him. Kohen Gadol, which means a higher level Kohen, again, what distinguishes him is he can't even marry a widow because of his holiness, and they must marry a Besula, etc. So we see that the holiness of Bechor and Kohen is all revolving around the union of Kedusha Sabris. Ki kol b'chinois hanal shezoichen aledei re'iyas hatzadik lebchinas tchias amesim shehu anov amitiyas, because all of the things that we discussed earlier, which a Jew is zoichet to by seeing the face of a tzaddik, that were zoichet to tchias amesim, which is synonymous with true humility, ho'ikar al yedei kedushas habris shel hatzaddik o'emes. Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moran in chapter 72, which this halacha is based on, he writes over there that in order for the tzaddik to have this power, that when he looks at a person, he activates that person's brain and he shines into them humility, tchias hameisim, all of these things, the tzaddik has to be exceptional in the area of kedushas habris. Rabbein Azal writes this over there in Likut Imran, and he proves it from psukim, from sources. He shows that that's a critical piece. In order for the tzaddik to be able to be mashpia through his eyes, to be able to give over his noitzitzu samoichim and malchus and all these things, he has to be exceptional in kedusha sabris. And if he is, shehu mamshich kedushosoi uprishosoi al kol Yisrael. The tzaddik has the ability to shine his holiness of the bris into klal Yisrael, kemoi b'shas matan Torah, just as the Jews receive that holiness and light when they receive the Torah on Har Sinai, kemoi shekosuv b'Torah nal, as Rabbein Azal explains over there in chapter 72 in the second half of Likut Imran, which this halacha is based on. Ve'ikar kedushas habechoyrim hu litneim lakoyhin. We know that the main holiness of the bechoyr is the fact that we're commanded that when we have a firstborn son, we're required to give him to the kohen. Or, if we don't want to do that, then we redeem him by giving the kohen a certain sum of money. Why? Listen to this now. Watch how Rav Nosson Zal draws the connection. We spoke, remember, that chapter in Likut Imran focuses on the incredible benefit of seeing a tzaddik and having the tzaddik see you. Rabbein Azal explains what's transmitted in that look. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us where the Kohanim get their holiness from. We said one aspect of the Kohen's holiness is that he has much higher requirements in Kedushas HaBris. But let's see where it originates from. Ki kedushas hakohuno hischilo me Aharon. We know that the holiness of the Kohanim began from Aharon HaKohen. Shezocho loze al yedei re'iyas penei hatzadik Moshe Ochiv. And how did Aharon HaKohen receive this gift from Hashem, this holiness? By the way he looked at the tzaddik, his brother Moshe Rabbeinu. Be'emes, he looked at him with real honesty and sincerity, b'li kina, without any jealousy. If there was anyone who had a reasonable excuse to be envious, it was Aharon HaKohen. He's the older brother. He was there first. He was in charge of the Jews while Moshe Rabbeinu was vacationing in Ethiopia and in Midian and everything. He was carrying the whole burden and everything. And suddenly, somebody comes off the boat, Moshe Rabbeinu comes with a note from Hashem saying, I'm taking over. If there was anyone that could have gotten insulted, hurt, jealous, all kinds of negative feelings, it would have been Aharon HaKohen. And the Torah tells us that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. That's why he kept trying to delay it and to get Hashem off that issue totally, to say, send somebody out, whatever you want, not interested. What do you mean not interested? Hashem is offering you an opportunity to take the Jews out of slavery and suffering, and you're trying to get out of it? This was why he tried to get out of it, because he knew how difficult this is for a human being, that he's older, he's there, and he's going to have to step aside. But Hashem told him, you have nothing to worry about with Aharon HaKohen. Hashem promised him, v'roacho v'somach b'liboy, that when Aharon HaKohen is going to see you, not only is he not going to resent you at all, no negative feelings, but he's going to be happy, and not just a happy face. There are people that can do that, that even though they're bleeding and crying inside, they'll make believe that they have, they'll put on a smile. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Aharon, this is your brother. He is such a tzaddik that v'roacho v'samach b'liboy. So we see that Aharon HaKohen was one of the people who fulfilled looking at the tzaddik properly. Now, as if there was anyone who had a difficulty with looking at the tzaddik, who could have looked at the tzaddik with all kinds of negativity, it was Aharon HaKohen. Instead, he looked at Moshe Rabbeinu with only the right feelings and the right attitude. Be'emes, Bali kina, rak ba'anova amitis, with pure humility. Vaideze daiko zocho lemailo gedoilo venoiro kozois. And this is what blessed Aaron HaKohen to be zocho to this incredible, incredible high holy level, shehu keser hakohuna, which is the crown of the priesthood, as it's called in the Gemara. Sheyehu ubonov kohanim, that he and his sons and all of his descendants would be kohanim, priests, lamoid lifnei Hashem, to stand before Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, l'shorsoi, to serve Hashem, ulevorech bishmoi, and to bless the Jewish people as Hashem's representatives. Ki boze shero'o v'kibel pnei Moshe ochiv b'simcha, by Aaron HaKohen being able to step up to the plate and look at Moshe Rabbeinu with joy and happiness, without any negativity, with all the right feelings that a Jew's supposed to have when he's looking at a tzaddik, to think that this is the greatest privilege in the world, to be associated with the tzaddik and to have the schus of looking at him, boze hoyotoloi kol yitzias mitzrayim v'kabolas ha-Torah. Rav Nosson says the whole mission of the Jewish people leaving Egypt and receiving the Torah was dependent on this. The one person who could have nixed the deal, who could have blown the whole thing, was Aaron HaKohen. If he would have just simply made it look like he's hurt a little, you would have seen a rumble. Moshe Rabbeinu would have gotten a welcome. They would have thrown him out on his head. If Aaron HaKohen would have shown one iota of dissatisfaction, it would have been the end of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, it was Aaron HaKohen's behavior, which was so exceptional, in looking at Moshe Rabbeinu with love, admiration, respect, total acceptance, total betel to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what assured that all of Klal Yisrael would fall into line. And that's what gave him this zuchus, that Hashem gave them the Alkein zocho al yidei ze lekohuna. And that's why through this, Aaron HaKohen was given this incredible privilege of kohuna, ukimavura beparsha shel shlichus Moshe lohitzi Yisrael mimitzrayim, as we see explained very clearly in the portion of the Torah where it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's mission to take the Jews out of Egypt. Shemien Moshe b'shlichusoi kama pomim. Moshe Rabbeinu refused the job repeatedly. Again and again, he kept trying to get out of it. He did not want to step into those shoes of being above his brother Aharon HaKohen. That was the issue, as the Medrash Tanchuma says, chapter 27. Ad she'omar lo Hashem Yisborach, until Hashem promised him, Haloi Aharon Ochicho Halevi, likrosecho veroacho v'somach b'liboy. Your brother Aharon, when he's going to see you, he's going to be full of joy, even in his heart. And as a reward for this, Aaron HaKohen was given the kahuna, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 139. Because of Aaron HaKohen's pure heart, because of that veroacha v'somach b'liboy, the Gemara says Hashem gave him the choshen mishpat, which the kohen gadol wears on his heart, over his heart. Nimtza. So now Rav Nosson Zal just opened our eyes and he enlightened us into knowing how Aharon became kohen, how the kohanim came into kohuna. Nimtza she'ikar ha'kohuna zocho Aharon al yidei v'roacha. Aharon HaKohen received this kohuna by looking at Moshe Rabbeinu the right way. Veroacho v'somach b'liboy, the way a person, setting the example of how a person's supposed to look at a tzaddik, with love, respect, no negative feelings whatsoever. V'zehu veroacho daika. Now you understand why Hashem had to say that. Why did Hashem say, he's going to see you and he's going to say, Hashem could have said v'somach, but he's going to be happy. He's not, what's the point of saying he's going to see you? The Torah, every word in the Torah is $1 billion. They don't waste any words. So veroach hodaiko al yidei sheyira oischa, by Aharon HaKohen looking at the tzaddik, looking at Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yikabel ponecho, and receiving the light that's beaming out of the face of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'somach b'liboy, and experiencing that real ethereal joy in his heart. Shezeh b'chinas chayim nitzchim. What is that simcha? Remember we saw before, soiva samochois esponecho, ni'imois bimincho netzach. That simcha is chayim nitzchim, eternal life. Shehu anovo amitis. This refers to real, pure humility, shezoichin alidei re'iyas pnei tzadikim, which a person is zoiche to when they look at the face of a true tzadik properly. Sheshom ikar hasimcha. That's where the real joy and happiness is. It's coming from the face of the tzaddik, and it's beaming into our hearts. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Todieni ora chaim, teach me the path of life. Soiva semochois esponecha, to be satiated with simcha from your face. So the Hashem and the tzaddikim, what they're beaming from their face is simcha. They're shining simcha into us, into a person who wants to receive it. As we mentioned earlier, the pasuk bebechinas, yishmeu anovim v'yismochu, that those people who are humble, anovim, those people who have anova, will hear and they'll be filled with joy and happiness. So anova and simcha go together, gaiva and atzvus go together. Most people who suffer from depression, anger, all negative feelings, where is it coming from? I, all the I stuff. I deserve better than this. I owe all the I stuff, all the gaiva, that leads to all kinds of negativity. If a person considers themselves nothing, how could you possibly have anything other than appreciation for whatever you have? Rabbi Nosson writes in one place, if a person is humble, if he's got water, he knows he's got to say thank you. A glass of water, he'll say, I don't want that. That's for animals. I want my orange. I want fresh squeezed orange juice. You know, a person who knows that everything is freebie, that I came into this world naked, without a dollar, without anything. So nobody owes me anything. Everything I'm getting here is gift. A person who has that awareness, that person can appreciate, can be happy. And when it's the opposite of that, chas v'shalom, it leads to unhappiness, dissatisfaction. That's why we find, when it comes to raising children, many people say that children who grow up in affluence, where they're given everything plus that kind of thing, you would think that they're the happiest, and unfortunately it doesn't usually work that way. It's when kids are taught to appreciate everything, when they're not given everything with silver spoon, they're given minimum and more as you earn it and that kind of thing, they develop an appreciation for everything and not expecting it, not expecting and assuming sikim tmir, like we say in English, it's coming to me. What do you mean? Why shouldn't I have it? I always have everything I need, everything I want. You know, why shouldn't I have it? Al yideze toitzies Yisrael mimitzrayim. Through this veroach of a samach beliboy, you'll be able to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. We said Mitzrayim is Egypt. Shehu b'chinas bitul hametzorim v'hagvulim. And metzar also means boundaries, constrictions. Shehem b'chinas geus kanal, which we said is gaiva. Gaiva means yeshus. Gaiva means I'm a something, I'm a somebody. Something takes up space. Especially, and the more gaiva a person is, the more space he feels he needs. If you're sitting within 2 feet of him, you're crowding him because you're impinging on my space. And the more humble a person is, they take up no space. They don't need. So he said that this anova is bitul of boundaries, which is geus. V'alkein zocho lekohuna. And therefore, because of this attitude of Aaron HaKohen, at looking at the tzaddik and with the simcha and everything, he was zeichet to kohuna, lavoid avoidosei bebeis. What is kohuna? What do the kohanim do? They work in the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash? Sheshom ikar hisnoitzetzutz hamoichin. The Beis HaMikdash is a center of seichel, das. We've mentioned before the Gemara, kol mi sheyesh bo deya ki'ilu nivne Beis HaMikdash b'yomov. So the Beis HaMikdash is a place of hisnoitzetzutz hamoichin. A person would go into the Beis HaMikdash and their brain would open up with awareness of Hashem, conscious. They saw miracles all around them. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, they saw Hashem, and that's what got their brain sparkling. Shehein Meleches HaMishkon V'Beis HaMikdosh. We said, which Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there, that Das is synonymous with building the Beis HaMikdosh. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Chozis Ish Mohir B'Malachtoi. Did you see the person who was quick, speedy in his work? Rav Nosson Zal says, note that word, Mohir, speedy, which means Zrizus, Mohir Daika. Bechinas HaKoyhanim Ho'ivdim B'Beis HaMikdosh. This refers to the Kohanim, whom the Gemara says in many places, Shehem Mehirim Uzrizim Bavaidosam. There are many places in the Gemara where it discusses certain laws, and it says that, hold on a second, where it says a Jew's not allowed to do this, because if he does this, he might come to do that. It might lead him to make this. Someone says, hold on a second, how come the Kohanim were allowed to do that? Someone says, what are you talking about? Kohanim Zrizim Heim. The Kohanim are quick and careful. Like, they don't need as many boundaries, as many warnings. They're extra careful, extra meticulous, and speedy. You don't have to worry about them being slow or anything like that. So Rav Nosson Zal says that the pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal brings over there in Likutiman, Chozis Ish Mohir B'Malachtoi, which malacha? Meleches HaMikdosh, Meleches HaMishkon. Who are the Mohir? Who's the Mohir? The Kohanim. V'Alkein, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Tav Chof, V'Alkein, Parshiyas HaTfilin, Medabre Mikidushas HaBachor. Now we go back to our topic, Tfilin. Why is it that the first two Parshiyas of Tfilin are busy talking about Bechor? Shehu Bechinas Kedushas HaKoyhen. Because the Bechor teaches us the holiness of the Kohanim, of the priesthood. Ki Iker HaKohuna Nimsheches Mire'iyas Pnei Atzadik. Because we had learned earlier that putting on tefillin, Rabbeinu Zal Fair speaks about the incredible benefit of seeing the face of the tzaddik and having the tzaddik look at you. Rav Nosson Zal said, what about those people who don't know who is the tzaddik? And even if they do know, they don't get to see him on a daily basis. So how do they get this benefit? Rav Nosson Zal said, when we put on tefillin, tefillin is Penei HaTzaddik. It's this Or Penei Melech Chaim. And he showed many, many proofs. So here he shows us now again, because we said, where did the Kohen get his holiness from? From the Ki Iker HaKohuna Nimsheches Mire'iyas Pnei Atzadik. The Bechoira, the Kohuna, comes from Rias Pnei Atzadik, Mebchinas Veroach HaVesamach Beliboi, Shemishom Iker Kedushas HaTfilin. And that's what the holiness of Tfilin is all about. So therefore, the Bechoira, which refers to the Kohanim, who draw their holiness from seeing the Tzadik, that belongs in tefillin, because tefillin is also another form of re'iyas pnei tzaddik. Paragraph Yud. V'alkein ikar tchias hameisim yihye al yidei zera aron hakoyim. Now we'll understand another thing. Over there in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the dead coming back to life. We spoke about that one before. Rav Nosson Zal says, who are the ones who are going to make that happen? The descendants of Aharon HaKoyen. Kamo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says at the end of Soita, Utchias HaMeisim Bo Al Yedei Eliyahu Zohor LaToiv. That who's going to be the one to introduce the dead being brought back to life? Eliyahu Hanavi. And it's brought that Eliyahu Hanavi Ze Pinchas Ben Elozar Ben Aharon HaKoyen. That Eliyahu Hanavi is really Pinchas, who was the grandson of Aharon HaKohen. There are many proofs to this. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this at length. Ki tchias hameisim, shehu anova amitis, nimshach al yidei kedushas Aharon. Because the dead coming back to life, which we said is all about humility, because the Gemara shows which dead are going to come back to life? Those who have humility. Which portion of a person is, which portion of the soul is going to come back to life? The portion that had this quality of anova. Anova is synonymous with tchias hameisim. Therefore, Aharon HaKohen is in the picture. Therefore, it's the descendants of Aharon HaKohen, because they showed this incredible al kedushas Aharon shezocho lekohuna al yedei re'iyas pnei hatzadik be'emes besimcha. Aharon HaKohen, who achieved, who received this kohuna through looking at the face of the tzaddik properly. Where the Torah says, V'ro'acho v'samach b'liboy. The Torah speaks about Aaron HaKohen's looking at the face of Moshe Rabbeinu with simcha. Because that's what brings the dead back to life. That's what brings about this hisnoitzet tzamoichin we spoke about. We've mentioned many times that chachma is called life. Ha-chachma techaye bo'aleho. We have a term, brain dead. He's brain dead. Because again, if the brain isn't active, even if the other parts of the body are moving, chas v'shalom, it's considered like dead, chas v'shalom. So here, when the tzaddik looks at a person and that turns the brain on, that's giving life. That's injecting life, chaim nitzchim, eternal life, into the person. Paragraph Yud Aleph. V'zeh shemesayemes parsha achroina shebetfilin be'inyan tchiyas ha-meisim. And now you'll understand also why the second parsha of the Shema, which is in the tefillin, what does it conclude with? The topic of the dead coming back to life. As it says, Shehem chayim aruchim, chayim nitzchim. That's the real long life and eternal life. Kama shekosev, as it says there, Leman yirbu yemechem v'imei v'neichem al ho'adom ha'shenishba Hashem l'aviseichem l'osei slohem. V'dor shu'azal, and the Gemara says about this in Sanhedrin, page 90, le'inyin tchiyas ha'meisim, that it's referring, that pasuk is referring to the dead being brought back to life. K'moy shekosov, like the Gemara says, lochem loiksiv. It doesn't say Ashenishba Hashem Lavoisechem Losei Slochem, which Hashem has sworn to your forefathers to give to you Lochem. It doesn't say that. It says Losei Slohem, to give to them, that Hashem is going to give Eretz Yisrael to them. Mikan Letchias Hameisim in HaTorah. This is one of the proofs that Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov are going to be back again with us, and they're going to be given Eretz Yisrael again. Hainu kanal, as we mentioned earlier, ki ikar hatfilin shehem oyer haponim hu liskois letchias hameisim shehu anov amitiyis. Because we said the main holiness of tefillin, which is this light of the face of Hashem, or the light of the face of the tzaddikim, is to be zeichet to receive from that light tchias hameisim, to have the dead be brought to life, which is true humility. As we mentioned earlier, the pasuk, Hokitsu Varanenu Shoich Neofor. Wake up and sing, you who are lying in the ground. And lying in the ground, we said, means humble, people who are all the way down. V'alkein medabrim kol haparshias shel tefillin me'eret Yisrael. And now you'll understand also why in all four parshiyos of tefillin, it's speaking about Eretz Yisrael, ki ikar tchiyas hameisim yeh b'Eretz Yisrael. Because the real tchiyas hameisim is going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. It's brought that those who are buried outside of Eretz Yisrael are going to have to roll to Eretz Yisrael, because this is where it's going to happen. This is where the tchiyas hameisim is going to take place. K'moy sham razal, as the Gemara says, at the end of Ksubas. V'zehu leman yirbu yemeichem v'evenechem. When are you going to have this long life, this eternal life? Al ho'adama. Al ha'adama shenish v'ashem l'seichem. On the ground of Eretz Yisrael. Al ho'adama daiko shehu Eretz Yisrael. Sheshom ikar tchiyas hameisim. That's where the real tchiyas hameisim is going to take place. Ki tchiyas hameisim hu anovo amitiyis. Because as we learned earlier, tchiyas hameisim is all about real humility. Those who have real humility, they're going to be brought back to life. We said that Olam Haba was created with the letter Yud, which is the smallest letter in the alphabet, to show that it's smallness that's going to bring a person to Olam Haba, that's going to give a person that new life. Shemesim atzmoi ke'ofor ukadoma, where the person considers himself like dirt, like earth. Bechinas hakitzu v'ranenu shoich neofor. Wake up and sing. Who are the ones who are going to wake up and sing? Shoich neofor. The Gemara says, Mishenase shochein loofor b'chayev. A person who considered himself a neighbor to the earth, to the dirt, while he was living. Person who considered himself on the floor. one of my rabbis, Zichron Avrocha, Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, who had an important leadership position in Breslov. And at one point, there were certain people who were causing him major anguish and pain. And he said, like, they don't get it. They think that I'm sitting on a chair and they're going to throw me off the chair. They're going to dethrone me. They don't know me. They don't know. I'm not sitting on any chair. I'm sitting on the floor. There's nowhere to throw me like this. You know, another guy, we're gonna bring him down. He said, there's nowhere to bring me down to. I'm there. I don't need their help to get there. I'm Baruch Hashem there. I know my place. And these qualities, this true anova, and the tchias amesim, all the qualities we're talking about here, a person is zeicha through the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. This is why there were people, religious people, who when they were able to get their hands on some of the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, they would bring it back to Chutz Laretz, so that if they would be buried in Chutz Laretz, they would want at least some of the offer of Eretz Yisrael to be put into their kever. Ki af al pi, now listen to this very carefully. He's going to make a very important point here now. You know, it's till now we've learned that the earth dirt represents humility. And that's a very good thing. It's a very important quality for a Jew to have, to be humble, to consider himself nothing, nobody, right? The answer is now he's going to qualify it. And he's going to make a very important qualification here. Ki af al pi shebechinas ofer hu maila gedoyla, even though this concept of a person considering himself nothing, consider himself like dirt, is a very special attribute, it's very special, dehainu losum atzmai ka ofer, lihiyois onov be'emes, to be really humble, shehu godoyl mehakoyl, the Gemara says, anova gedoyla mikulam, that's the most important quality that a person could achieve. If they have that, they have everything. That's why the Torah said about Moshe Rabbeinu one thing, onov moed. Saying he has that means automatically he's got all the other good qualities. Ki anova gedoyla mikulam. But Rav Nosnal says, afal pikein, despite that, Kvar mavur b'hatoyra hanal, Rabbeinu Zal already made it clear in chapter 72 in Likutei Moran, the one that our halach is based on, she'afal pikein osur lihiyois otzel. A Jew is not allowed to be a schlepper, a Jew v'shlemazalnik. A Jew is not allowed to be a shlemazel, a guy who can't do anything, a weak, a nebesh, as we call it in French, right? A nebuch, you know, a guy who's helpless, can't do anything, needs all the help. Everybody else has to do things for him. You ask him to do, it's always, I can't, I don't know how. Ki anova, he hu ikar hachius. Because anova, humility, is not death, it's not sleep. Anova is real living. Anova is true living. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki yesh lehepech, there's the opposite of anova, bechinas ofor de sitra achra. There's dirt, we mentioned dirt, holy dirt, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, the dirt of a person feeling like he's nothing in the presence of Hashem. That's a good dirt. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to discuss the bad dirt, because we know that these four yesoidos, the four basic elements from which the world is created and man is created from, fire, water, air, and dirt, offer, all of them have a good side and a bad side to them. There's good fire and there's terrible fire. There's good water and there's tsunami. There's destructive water. And there's good dirt we're going to learn about now. There's holy dirt and there's poisonous dirt. Ki yesh lehepech b'chinas ofor de sitra achra. Because there's the opposite of this, which is the dirt of the sitra achra, she'ikar achizas ha-sitra achra u'neshichas ha-nochosh hu-shom, whereby the best place that the Yetzirah can grab hold of a person, and this when a person is bitten by the snake, we talk about the poisonous snake bite of the Yetzirah, is in dirt. Shehu b'chinas, as the Torah says, v'nochosh ofor lachmai. Snakes eat dirt. Everything they eat tastes like dirt to them. So when we talk about a person saying, I'm going to eat you, meaning I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to get you, the nachash eats dirt. So if a person's going to be dirt, he's going to be food for the snake, food for the Yetzirah. But Rav Nosnal says, what kind of dirt is that? Shehu bechinas atzvus v'atzlus. There we're talking about laziness and depression. Some people might misinterpret that as humility. A guy who says, I can't do it. You ask him to do anything? I can't. I don't know. I don't know how to do anything. That's not humility. That could be laziness. What do you mean you don't? Of course you know. Get up here and do the job. What are you talking about? You don't know. What's the big deal? Do it. Try it. You won't get it perfect the first time. You'll learn how to do it. I don't know isn't an answer in certain cases for certain people. So Rav Nosnal is showing us here, there's an ofar digdusha, which is sincere humility. Moshe Rabbeinu, who took Paroi and the whole Egypt and flushed them down the incinerator and took on the whole world, wasn't afraid of anybody and anything. And the Torah says, Ono of Moed, he considered himself nothing, nobody. When the Jews came to him with a list of complaints, he looked at them and he laughed. He said, you complain to me? To Aaron, we're nothing. V'nachnu mo'kisa. You're looking at us, you're looking at me like I'm a boss here? Like I'm in charge? Are you crazy? So Moshe Rabbeinu, with his being able to do to run the world, it didn't conflict in any way with his recognition that he's nothing and nobody. It's Hashem running the world through him. I'm just a shliach. I'm a messenger of Hashem. The other side of the coin, the opposite of that is atzvus and atzlus, which is helplessness, hopelessness, and laziness. Those three things, chas v'shalom. K'may shekosu b'mokam acher, as Rabbeinu Zal talks about this in other places, shehu hepech mebechinas chozis ish moher b'malachtoi. This is the opposite of what we spoke about before. The pasuk in Tehillim where it says, did you see that person who's quick in his work? V'zeh bechinas ofor shel chutz loretz. When we talk about depression, laziness, helplessness, hopelessness, that's the other dirt. That's the dirt of chutz loretz. Shehu ofor tomei. The Gemara calls that impure dirt. K'moy sham razal, as the Gemara says, shebizman sheyisrael shruyim alat moson, that when the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, and when the Jews have a Jewish kingdom, osur lekoyhein lotzeis lechutz loretz. A kohen was not allowed to step out of Eretz Yisrael. It's not allowed. Why? Michshash ribui hamesim hanigborim sham. Because Chutz Loretz is full of death. There's corpses all over the place. They people are buried. You don't even know. They bury people. Don't put any markers up or anything. So the whole place is considered one big cemetery, one big place of moves, sitra demoisa, as we say. Kishom nechas beyoser sitra demoisa. In Chutz Loretz is where this sitra demoisa, where death has the strongest hold. Spiritual death we're referring to here. Bechinas atzvus viatzlus. In Chutz Loretz, it's natural for a person to be depressed, to be lazy, chas v'shalom. Shehu bechinas anova psula. That's a false kind of humility. A false kind. Shebeemes he bechinas gadlus, which is really arrogance. That's a laziness, because I don't want to take the garbage out, because I don't want to do the job, I say I can't. I present myself like nothing and nobody out of laziness, chas v'shalom. V'alkein tzorich kolechod lekadesh esatzmoy bebechinas kedushas ofer Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, each and every single Jew has to try to purify himself, to elevate himself to the holiness of the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Sheshon ikar tchias hameisim. We said that's where we're going to have the main dead coming back to life. Shehu anov amitias, which is true humility. V'alkein medabrim haparshia shel tefillin me'Eretz Yisrael. This is why the tefillin parshias, which are full of humility, like we learned earlier, are talking all about Eretz Yisrael. Kishom ikar tchias hameisim, because that's where the real tchias hameisim comes. Shubchinas tefillin kanal. V'alkein nikras Eretz Yisrael Eretz hachaim, and that's why Eretz Yisrael is called the land of the living. Kishom Iker Hatchia, because Eretz Yisrael is the place where a person can live and a person can be brought back to life. Even a person who's spiritually dead, they come to Eretz Yisrael can revive them. Bechinas Chaim Nitzchiim. Vezehu Eretz HaChaim, Hainu Sheshom Ho'oretz V'Ho'ofor, in Eretz Yisrael, the land and the dirt, the Hainu Bechinas Ho'anova V'Shiflis, which means the humility, is Bebechinas Chaim. It's a healthy humility. There's a humility that brings a person down. There's a person who says, I'm nothing, nobody, and they think that that's a license to slide into depression and helplessness and hopelessness. That's an unhealthy offer. That's an unhealthy. We're talking about Chaim, anova, real anova, which where a person realizes he's nothing, and therefore he doesn't walk. When he sees the sign blinking, don't walk, he knows that's for him. Don't walk, run. He doesn't have time to walk. Other people who have been religious their whole life and they're doing a lot of good stuff, they can walk. I can't walk. I have to run. I want to make up for lost time. I want to burn rubber. I want to do 10 days in one day. I want to pack it in as much as I can. And again, why? Because I'm nothing. Because I realize how far behind I am. I realize how much catching up I have to do. Therefore, I'm going to be quicker and better than other people. We said Vizehu Eretz Hachayim. That's why Eretz is Kishom Iker Hatchia. In Eretz Yisrael, we have the main coming Bechinas Chaim Nitzchiim. Vizehu Eretz Hachayim. That's why it's called the land of the living. Hainu Sheshom Ha'oretz V'Ofor, which is Bechinas Chaim. The Hainu Anova Amiti is true humility. Shehi Iker Hachayim, which is real life. Mashen Kein Eretz Ha'amim. Whereas the other countries outside of Eretz Yisrael, Shehu Bechinas Eretz V'Ofer Tomei, which are referred to as impure land and dirt, Sheshom Sitra Demoisa, there the default is the Sitra Achra, the death, Dahainu Bechinas Anova Psula, false modesty, She'eno Echai Chaim Amitim Alidei Ho'ofer, Dahainu Ashiflis, where the person doesn't experience true life as a result of humility, but rather the humility brings them into depression, into all kinds of bad places. That the snake eats dirt. Because the real quality of humility, when we talk about the benefits of humility, is when it causes the person to live. When the humility doesn't weaken him, it strengthens him. Because I'm nothing, therefore I know I have to work much harder. I have to be much better than everybody else. I have to try harder. Shetiyah bebechinas chayim, bechinas tchiyas hameisim, sheikroi beretz Yisrael, of which the main place that's best suited for that is Eretz Yisrael, shehi eretz hachayim. Alkein, therefore, tzrichin be'emes, levakesh harbe harbe me'ashem yisborach. A person has to pray very, very hard. Invest a lot of prayers, hours and hours, days, weeks, begging Hashem sheyizke la'anova amitis, to be zeche to true anova, not anova psula. I don't want to be a nebuch. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner. I'm not in this world to lose. Hashem didn't put me here to be nothing. Hashem put me here to recognize that Hashem is everything and I'm nothing, but that this nothing can accomplish all kinds of things. Shehi Iker HaChayim Shel Kol Eiver. That's the true spiritual energy of every single organ in a person's body. When the organ feels that true anova, Kemavur Sham B'Soif HaTorah, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there at the end of that chapter in Likutei Moran. Now, obviously, this does not give people living in Eretz Yisrael a license to say, oh, look, I'm great, I'm this, and they're garbage. That's not what he said here. He said that Eretz Yisrael has these qualities. Chutz Laretz has these disadvantages. There are people in Chutz Laretz who could try much, much harder and advance further than people in Eretz Yisrael if they're not trying, if they're not doing. We know that just living in Eretz Yisrael, just physically being in Eretz Yisrael, is a benefit, it's a privilege, but also it's demanding. A person living here has more requirements, more obligations, and Hashem expects more from us because it's easier. The land here is better suited to certain spiritual qualities. Whereas in Chutz Laretz, it's mountain climbing. It's much more difficult. To the degree that a person recognizes that, there are people who say, what are you talking about? In Chutz Laretz, I was much more religious than that. That's what they think sometimes. Person doesn't know how Hashem is looking at it. And again, there's all kinds of different nisyonos. The Gemara says, kol ha-godol me-chaveroi, yitzroi godol himenu, that when a person goes up to a higher level, they don't keep the yetzahara that they had on the ground floor. They give him a new yetzahara, a different level completely. That's why sometimes it could feel much more difficult to be religious in Eretz Yisrael than it was in Chutz Laretz. In Chutz Laretz it came easy, and here I'm having tests that I didn't even have there. Why? The answer is because you're in a bigger, better place. What Rav Nosson Zal is saying here is 100% true. A person has to know how to understand it and how I'm going to deal with it, therefore. That once I'm being told that I'm living in such a special place, then I'm going to do, I know that there's serious expectations for me. And I know that I can connect to it. I have to want to. It doesn't come by itself. Like anything else, you have to be mispower for it. We mentioned that the story of the Bat Ayin. One of the great, great tzaddikim who lived in Chutz Laretz, and he wanted desperately to get to Eretz Yisrael his whole life. And one time a Meshulach came and described to him the beauty of it, the light, the holy light. And he said, that's it, I'm going. And he told his family, they picked him, came to Eretz Yisrael, started walking around Eretz Yisrael and didn't see the light. He didn't see it. And a few weeks went, we're talking about a tzaddik. This is one of, he wrote a Sefer Bat Ayin, a very deep Sefer on Torah. And this went on for a few weeks, and he was concerned and disappointed. And then one day he's walking and he sees the Meshulach. And he says, he runs over and he says, aren't you so-and-so? Weren't you in this country? He says, yes, yes. You remember you were in my house and you spoke to me about Eretz Yisrael, the great light and everything? He says, yes. He says, you should know that you were the straw that broke the camel's back. In your zechus, I did it. I picked up and I came with my family and everything. And now I'm here. He says, Mazel Tov, great, I'm so happy for you. He says, yeah, yeah, but you remember what you described? I don't see it. So the Meshulach smiled at him, and the Meshulach said, Rebbe, you want to see? You have to be Zoicha. You have to have the privilege. That's a privilege. It doesn't come automatically necessarily. That's a privilege. You have to ask for it. You have to work for it. And he said it was like the person hit him with a gong in his head. He reminded him that he had forgotten. So he said he rolled up his sleeves and he started begging Hashem, Hashem, I'm here. I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I don't see it. I don't feel it. Open my eyes. Turn on my nervous system. I'm dead. I'm holding. I came to Eretz Yisrael with the death. I'm still holding on to the death, to the Sitra Demaisa. I want to get rid of it. I want to start living. I want to feel the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael. And he said today, he made a big suda, and he said this to celebrate that today I feel it. I got there, Baruch Hashem. So this is a message for us, those who are zrecha, to live in Eretz Yisrael. If we don't feel the holiness, if we don't feel the humility, it's not because it's not here. It's here. I have to beg Hashem that I should be zecher to connect completely the right way to the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael. We'll hold it over here for now. We're going to be going into a whole topic now. In the next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to be introducing the topic of Pesach, the holiday of Pesach, Chometz and Matzah, and showing how it's connected to our issues. Hashem.